Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, what is going on in the stock market? GameStop, AMC, BlackBerry, surging stocks. We talk about market manipulation and really break it down for you in great detail. Also, the Great Reset and what Davos wants for your life and more. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you'd like to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. It really helps us out a lot when you chip in at charliekirk.com/support. Support our research team, our editing team, and all the work we do at charliekirk.com/support. If you want to protect yourself from Big Brother, Big Tech, and all sorts of big threats online, go to expressvpn.com/charlie to secure and anonymize your search data, expressvpn.com/charlie. Stock market, Great Reset, GameStop, what is going on? We have the answers. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
I'm very excited to talk to you all about a new book that is coming out this month from my dear friend, Turning Point Endowment Board member, smart man, best-selling author Jim Holden. Selling in an Anxious World is Jim's fifth book on selling strategies and best practices. This time, Jim brings together research, science, and observation to identify the leading cause of declining business-to-business sales, otherwise known as corporate culture. I had the great honor of actually contributing to this book. When Jim approached me, I said, Jim, anything for you. Jim has been a loyal friend of mine and a good American. Through my work with Turning Point, I'm in a unique position to observe academic culture within our colleges and relate it to the corporate world, particularly its impact on company culture. In today's world, good company culture requires vigilant protection, which is why this book is so timely and a must-read for business people, sellers, patriots, and Christians. Selling in an Anxious World combines research from extensive deal reviews, examples from Jim's personal life, and Bible references to shine a light on culture, presenting an unconventional guide to solving an unconventional problem. You'll get quick access to whatever topics are important to you through chapter summaries and reference guides. Jim Holden's book is not like any other business book. Go to sellingcharlie.com, that's sellingcharlie.com, and use the special code Charlie to get a discount. And please send me your thoughts on the book and my chapter at freedom@charliekirk.com. Again, that's Selling in an Anxious World by my friend Jim Holden. Check it out. A must read from everyone. When you read it, email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome. So we kind of had our team meeting beforehand, kind of saying, what are we going to talk about right now? Impeachment, Joe Biden signing executive actions. Are we going to talk about the new decision that struck down Joe Biden's immigration policy? There's so much happening in the country. And what I did not expect to talk about this morning, but we are going to lead with, is the stock market. So kind of the chatter around here, everyone seems very excited because they've discovered something called a rising stock. It's very interesting. And so people are saying, Charlie, did you see what happened to GameStop? And so I was a little bit out of the loop. And so I started to read about this. And this is kind of the top story right now. I guess it's trending on Twitter. It's trending everywhere, right? And essentially, there's a website called Reddit. If you haven't heard of it, you've lived a wonderfully – you lived a wonderful life. Let me just put it that way. However, other people have, I guess, enjoyed the website. But on Reddit, there's a lot of people that it's really hard to describe Reddit. Some people call it kind of just the library of the internet. I guess that's one way to put it. Anyway, a lot of people post videos and images and coordinate activities, all sorts of different things there. Okay. So on Reddit, somebody that we do not know started to see that major hedge funds were placing shorts on a couple publicly traded companies, in particular GameStop. And so GameStop, many of you know, buys and trades video games from people. They've had a tough couple years, obviously, with more people going online and streaming games. They've had a difficult time kind of continuing any sort of expansion or growth. And so these people on Reddit started to see that some of these major hedge funds were shorting a stock. Now, if you don't know what shorting a stock is, Shorting a stock is when you place a bet that if the stock goes down, you make money. Now, when you short a stock, though, and the stock goes up, you can lose infinitely. Meaning you can lose not just a little bit, you can lose as high up it goes on the stock price. And so when you short a stock and it goes up, it actually can be much worse than what than just a an option going long on a stock would be. And so these hedge funds, they're called hedge funds for a reason, because they hedge their bets. They do long and short positions. So long, basically, they're betting that the stock will go up, you know, in the long term. I'm long on that position, I'm short. And so that's why these firms are called hedge funds. Okay. And so not really sure how this was coordinated, not really sure how this all came together, but millions of people seem to get this idea like, hey, let's go stick it to the man and let's all go buy GameStop stock and show them that shorting stocks is not going to be a safe position anymore. And so as we are doing this show right now, I just want to give you an idea of the enormity of what has just happened. GameStop's stock is up 126% today, okay? And they were trading at about $75 a share back on January 25th, Monday, January 25th. Now they're at $339 a share. Now, you might be wondering, well, did GameStop come out with a really cool product? Did they post good earnings? No, actually, they're losing money. They're doing awful. So if you buy GameStop stock, it's just you might as well have Zimbabwe currency. It's useless. Well, I should say it's useless. It has value, but it's nowhere near the value that it's been inflated. So for those of you that are listening or watching that don't know how the stock market works, there's a buyer and seller behind every single stock certificate of a business. And so the more people that want to buy a certain stock certificate of a business, the price goes up, right? Simple supply and demand. And so basically this kind of coordinated internet activity started to drive millions and millions of people to get into the stock market and boost this stock price. Now, it's not just GameStop. It's also BlackBerry and AMC. And so just to give you an idea, the market cap of GameStop is now $23 billion. $23 billion. Where it was a fraction of that just days ago. Now, I'm going to be the bearer of bad news right now. Whoever is behind this and is coordinating this, I highly recommend you stop, because this is probably and almost certainly against the law to coordinate and manipulate market activity. Now, some people are cheering this on, and they're not cheering this on because of the legality of it. They're cheering it on because we have seen the rich get $500 billion richer, at least the billionaire class, the last couple of months in the pandemic. We have seen working people struggle tremendously. And basically, there's this new mentality like, you have punished us into oblivion. You've shut down our country. You barely give us like a $1,200 check. No, I am going to now use the levers available to us in this kind of populist revolt. Sounds good. You've probably never dealt with the Security Exchange Commission before. And so I think it's Melvin Capital that lost big on this position. To think that Melvin Capital is not currently on the phone with a regulator, with the Security Exchange Commission and the Department of Treasury. Who do you think financed Joe Biden's campaign? It was Wall Street types. And right now, every single hedge fund in New York is saying, hold on, stop it with the short positions, and there will be a coordinated lockdown on this. Now, I don't really know if every single person that gets involved in this is going to be, you know, held accountable. Again, if you're just buying and selling the shares, you're probably going to be just fine. I'm not recommending you do that, by the way, because then you're participating in probably manipulated activity. And the counter argument that a lot of bloggers and people are making is, how dare you manipulate my manipulated market? And that's perfectly fair. I get that argument. Good luck explaining that to an SEC regulator. And you might say, well, Charlie, what could possibly be illegal about this? Well, look, in order for the Security Exchange Commission and publicly traded markets You cannot direct behavior in a certain way in markets to manipulate it outside of what would be – how's the best way I can word this? I read a really thoughtful academic piece on this earlier. But the best way I can word this is that if the behavior and the activity is deemed to be manipulative, and that's a very open-ended term, then you very well could be in a lot of trouble. Now, it doesn't seem like the Reddit mob is slowing down anytime soon. AMC, despite being completely locked down, is up more than 200%. So I think a lot of AMC executives the last week have been having a tough week. It's been hard to run movie theaters, and now they're looking at their stock price. And I'm sure a lot of the CEOs are like, so can we sell the stock now? And so here's just some good recommendation. If you're buying GameStop stock right now at $332 a share, you should reevaluate your life decisions, okay? Because what you're going to see in this chart 5 years from now is you're going to see the GameStop stock like this with one little spike and then all the way through. Now, look, the Security Exchange Commission could come in and suspend trading on some of these stocks. They could come in and say, you are not allowed to trade these stocks right now. They have that authority. As soon as you enter into the public markets, there's a whole different level of regulation that surrounds this. But I think this is appealing to people for a different reason that I mentioned briefly earlier, is that people have felt screwed by their system for so long, that people have seen wealthy and well-connected ruling class elites do not just well, but have their best year ever in a year that normal people got clobbered. They saw the bailouts go to the big banks. They saw the hedge funds continue to do well. And so now there's a little bit of a screw you middle finger to the system. And I'm not saying it's legal. I'm saying that's why people are supporting it. And that's why people are eager to engage in it. And they've already stopped trading on and off several times on some of these stocks, by the way, because of the massive volume. So just take a little bit of advice from me. Stay away from this stuff, everybody, because you could lose an extraordinary amount of money and you might get caught up in something that I don't think you might be prepared for. So just take that. And I want to dive into the deeper lessons here that I think are very important. Legacy Box is an effortless way to digitally preserve your home, movies, and photos that you never have to wonder where they are or whether they're safe. Legacy Box does an amazing job to make sure that your family's history is preserved. Did you know that videotape recordings weren't made to stand the test of time? They start diminishing after 10 or 15 years, so the sooner you digitally preserve them, the better off they'll be. Legacy Box makes reconnecting with your past as easy as pressing play. Over the past 10 years, Legacy Box has helped more than 1 million families restore and protect irreplaceable moments from the past. In 2020, Legacy Box's services have become so popular that the team has created an additional 125 jobs at its preservation studio here in the United States. Even if you wanted to do this yourself, it could cost you hundreds of dollars. But when you visit LegacyBox.com today, you'll save 50% off. You can get started for as little as $39. So go to LegacyBox.com/Kirk to take advantage of this limited time offer. Go to LegacyBox.com and save 50% while supplies last. And so I was just talking to somebody and they said, oh, I just made all this money on GameStop. I said, oh, really? Have you ever heard of capital gains tax? And they said, no, I already pay my income tax. I said, okay, young Padawan, let me teach you about the complexities of our tax system. And so if you make money in the market and those are realized gains and you lock in those gains, you don't put it in a Roth IRA or you don't have losses against it, then you have gains. So then you have to pay capital gains tax. And so it's all depending on your tax bracket. It could be 0% if you're in a very low tax bracket, but you might get into another tax bracket because you might have to establish this as income. And so especially if it's short-term capital gains, long-term capital gains are treated differently. And so I think a lot of these day traders are now going to be realizing, I don't know if I like this whole capital gains thing. At least the one unintended consequence of massive Reddit market manipulation is we could finally have a robust conversation about lowering the capital gains tax in this country. I think that's finally a positive. Now, one of the other stories I wanted to get to about the stock market which I think is very important, is this idea of people benefiting in the public markets when they are able to control public policy. And so there's a story that should have been headline news. And there's a story that should have been talked about in every single major newspaper, every single podcast, every single television show. And it actually is kind of – it's an issue and a story that leads to a bigger problem in our country. I'm going to read it to you. It is from Benzinga. Is that a website? Benzinga? Well, it's on Yahoo, but I just want to make sure. By Chris Katji. Nancy Pelosi buys Tesla calls, stands to benefit from new Biden EV plan. I think that means electric vehicle plan. It says, over the weekend, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi purchased 25 call options of Tesla. The purchases could have been done by Pelosi or her husband, Paul, who runs a venture capital firm. The options were bought at a stake price of $500, an expiration of March 18, 2022. Pelosi paid between $500,000 and $1 million for the options. Pelosi also disclosed that she bought 20,000 shares of AllianceBernstein Holdings, 100 calls of Apple, and 100 calls of Disney. And so just take a massive pause here. This is an issue, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you should be repulsed by this. I spoke out against Senator Richard Burr in North Carolina, who's a Republican who was heavily involved in a potential, let's just say, troublesome situation. The Department of Justice did clear him after an investigation, but that he sold all of his stocks after he got briefings on the Chinese coronavirus. And so whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or a conservative or a liberal, we got to take a step back and say, wait a second. The Speaker of the House of the Representatives of the United States of America, which is one half of one third of our government, is able to make multi-million dollar stock purchases where she could control legislation, committees, and make decisions that she would personally benefit from. How is this even remotely legal? And the answer is it is legal. Now, the Stock Act was passed in 2012. It's one of the few things that Barack Obama did correctly. The Stock Act did not go nearly as far as it should have, but it was basically to stop insider information and trading. Basically, if you had private information and you had private briefings, you were not allowed to trade on those briefings or on that information. I want you to imagine how the media would have acted if Donald Trump would have bought $1 million of ExxonMobil stock right before he signed a bunch of executive orders allowing expanded drilling and natural gas and the Keystone Pipeline. I want you to imagine if Donald Trump would have bought Abbott stock or AbbVie stock before a massive purchase was done for the vaccine from the government. It never would have happened. The media wouldn't have allowed it to occur. Now, every single piece of legislation, Nancy Pelosi is going to be thinking, not what's going to benefit my constituents in San Francisco, not what's going to benefit the country, but what's going to benefit my stock portfolio. You want to know why people are all of a sudden happy to flood Reddit and make the big guys suffer a little bit? It's because of garbage like this. You may not know this about me, but I'm kind of an undercover, some people would call it a nerd, when it comes to studying the global economy. I love seeking out financial wisdom. When it comes to my own portfolio, I always value precious metals. Noble Gold is the firm I trust to buy gold and silver from, which can serve as a hedge of protection in your IRA. First reason, they are a United States-based company. Supporting American businesses is so incredibly important. Second reason, Noble Gold has impeccable online reviews. A great online reputation is a must if you're going to trust a team's financial counsel. Third reason, Noble Gold has an experienced staff who works hard to make life easy for you. Any paperwork that might pop up takes less than 5 minutes to complete. Maybe it's an old 401k that needs a home. Maybe you're just like me and curious about your options. If so, grab a free gold guide by visiting noblegoldinvestments.com to learn more. I respect this team, and I know you will as well. Call Noble Gold right now. Tell them you heard about investing on my show. They will find the right plan on your budget. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Isabel, can you tell us about the Burks decision, the Dirks decision?
Dirks v. SEC. So there's a lot going on with the stock market in the last couple of days. You guys, we're breaking that all down for you. But we just touched on this very sticky situation of a story with Speaker Pelosi and her husband buying lots of stocks in electric vehicle companies, theoretically knowing that the Biden administration was going to be taking leadership on this issue today and into the rest of the week. There's a really interesting Supreme Court decision regarding a different type of insider trading than being within the company and knowing that your stock is going to go up. Essentially, this court case, Dirks v. SEC, which was in the United States Supreme Court, created this precedent where you can tip a friend about non-public information that might influence the publicly traded stock price of a company, even if you don't work particularly for that company as an employee. And in the past, friends didn't satisfy the legal definition of what an insider might be in insider trading. So it was difficult to figure out how to prosecute those individuals that did know private information and personally benefited from that. So this court case in particular created a precedent where you could go after and prosecute individuals who are not insiders for the company but did have private information that would benefit them personally from that stock
price. So an example of this would probably be Congressman Collins recently, who I think was pardoned by President Trump. Now, he did not use his congressional inside information, but this is just a textbook case of insider trading where he was at a White House gathering and actually had nothing to do with the White House, but he got a phone call from his son or from an executive at a company saying like, hey, our drug trial got denied by the FDA. Then he called his son and told his son to dump all the stock in that specific company. That is a textbook case of insider trading.
Right. And it's exactly a situation like that where nobody worked for the company in question, per se, that would be affected by this.
They
but they
just
had
were well
innate
connected.
Knowledge yeah, yeah, of what
were,
was going on.
They were
on.
Well connected there. So I want you guys to always email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. So the World Economic Forum is meeting virtually. If you don't know what the World Economic Forum is, the World Economic Forum is a gathering of the richest, most well-connected people on the planet. They usually meet in Davos, Switzerland, which is very hard to get to. And in Davos, Switzerland, a lot of very big globalist ideas are introduced. And so this is talked about sometimes in conservative circles as the Davos agenda or as the kind of globalist agenda. This is their Super Bowl. This is where they do their planning and their announcements. This is where you'll have the Bill Gateses of the world, the Jeff Bezos of the world, the heads of state from around the world gather, and they basically say, how can we destroy sovereignty of our nations? How can we try and have free flow of people and make ourselves more important? Now, we have gone into great detail in this program in the Great Reset, what the Great Reset is, where they do not want people to own property. You will eat less meat. I kid you not. That's part of the list. And you're going to be happier. You hear that? You're going to be happier. And if you don't, you got a problem with that? And so the World Economic Forum is now meeting digitally. And so I'm going to go to Cut 55. This is, I think, actually a promo video. This is their hype video, where now their new way of handling the Great Reset is not acting as if it doesn't exist, but instead leaning into it. Okay, let's play Cut 55.
A Great Reset? That sounds more like buzzword bingo masking some nefarious plan for world domination. Hands up. This kind of slogan hasn't gone down well. But all we really want to say is that we all have an opportunity to build a better world. And it's not surprising that people who've been disenfranchised by a broken system and pushed even further by the pandemic will suspect global leaders of conspiracy. But the world's not that simple.
There's a great Shakespearean quote, and it says, "The lady doth protest too much, methinks." You can look it up. I think I got my Shakespeare quotes correct. The lady doth protest too much, methinks. Now, I'm not exactly one for Shakespearean Old English, but hold on a second. You guys are worth like $700 billion, just five of you guys having lunch. Why are all of a sudden you having to deflect against the accusation of you being puppet masters from around the planet with that kind of imagery? I think you're a little bit self-conscious. Let's go to cut 56, where the Davos people are saying, we need to be involved in all the decision-making. We need enormous trust between the public sector and the private sector for us to pull this off. Cut 56.
Every one of us has differing priorities, values, and ideas. That's part of why solutions are so hard to come by, and why we all need to be involved in the decision-making. Because whether it's politicians, CEOs, academics, activists, or you, we're all about getting people together, even those you may not like, to sit down at the table and develop solutions that work for all of us. But
we need enormous trust between the private sector and the public sector for this to actually work. That trust is hard to come by.
This is so dystopian.
We need everyone at the table, but
no Trump, no conservatives, none of those nationalist people. We don't like them. Okay, so the forum is ongoing this week. This was their promo video and their hype video. So the first video the Davos people announced is that there is a lot of suspicions of a global conspiracy, and that somehow there's a theory that everyone in Davos is trying to take over the world. So you might say, well, Charlie, what's the significance of this? You don't understand. What happens this week in Davos, Switzerland, sets the tone for the next decade. This is one of their most important meetings, and they're doing it virtually and online. But this is where they share their big ideas. Do you know who got very, very famous at the World Economic Forum? Greta Thunberg. I believe Greta Thunberg got famous there before she actually spoke at the United Nations. It might be one or the other, but she spoke at both. I think the How Dare You was at the World Economic Forum.
I think you're right.
It might have been at the United Nations. Anyway, where she was scolding heads of state from around the world. What happens at the World Economic Forum does not stay at the World Economic Forum. It spreads to nations across the country. This is where the ideas such as the Paris Climate Accord, such as the Iran nuclear deal, such as the Trans-Pacific Partnership, they're all hatched here. And so when you go through the website of the World Economic Forum, and I encourage everyone to do this, and just look at their own playbook, look what they're openly admitting what they want to do, it paints a picture of exactly why they are trying to push so hard against conservatives in this country. For example, building a net zero, nature positive economy, basically no carbon emissions. That's right, no natural gas at all. What else are they talking about this week? Delivering social justice in the recovery. How about this one? Financing the net zero transition. And one of my favorites is an entire page here on the Great Reset. Participants in the World Economic Forum today include Emmanuel Macron, Angela Merkel, Xi Jinping, the head of the European Central Bank, Christine Lagarde, Antonio Guterres from the United Nations, and more. What are the key themes this week of the World Economic Forum? How to save the planet. Fairer economies. You know what? I love having Jeff Bezos tell me how to have a fairer economy. Tech for good. Oh, yeah. Let's trust them to use technology for good. Society and the future of work, healthy futures, and better business. Part of their agenda just a couple days ago was advancing a new social contract. You getting chills yet? You should. Implementing stakeholder capitalism in the Middle East and North Africa. Transforming food systems and land use. And more. And actually right now, live, is building a net zero, nature positive economy. Now, what are the eight predictions from the Great Reset? I'm going to talk over this because it's just background music. This video was published by the World Economic Forum. And it's really worth going through. Play tape. 8 predictions for the world in 2030 by the World Economic Forum occurring right now. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Whatever you want, you'll rent and it'll be delivered by drone. The United States won't be the world's leading superpower. This is what it says in their video right now. A handful of countries will dominate. You won't die waiting for an organ donor. I can sign up for that one, actually. We won't transplant organs. We'll print new ones instead. Want to probably make sure that's not creepy. You'll eat much less meat. Not a fan. An occasional treat, not a staple, for the good of the environment and our health, Isabel. Charlie, what are you reading? No, I'm actually just literally reading the video. Am I not,
right,
Isabel?
Yeah, he's not just making this up, you guys. We're reading word for word what the text of this video looks like, and it's chilling.
Yeah, so I am going through the list here. The World Economic Forum wants you to think that there's nothing sinister about their globalist master plan. And it's not surprising that the very people that shut down world economies, put millions and billions of people back into poverty, have suppressed human freedom and natural rights, are now all of a sudden going to say, oh, trust us with more power. We need all of us. Here's the second list of four things from the World Economic Forum. Play tape. 1 billion people will be displaced by climate change. How uplifting. We'll have to do a better job at welcoming and integrating refugees. 6, polluters will have to pay to emit carbon dioxide. There will be a global price on carbon, and this will help make fossil fuels history. You could be preparing to go to Mars. Scientists will have worked out how to keep you healthy in space. The start of a journey to find alien life? And 8, Western values will have been tested to the breaking point. Checks and balances that underpin our democracies must not be forgotten.
I have several questions for the creators of this video. We all breathe out carbon dioxide every day. So does that mean we have to pay a tax every time we breathe? And how are we supposed to get to Mars with zero fossil fuels? That's my question. But if we could figure that out, that'd be great.
That is a great point. It's actually a really, really good point. And so I guess they're going to put a tax on every single human being.
Every time you breathe 10
seconds. In the next segment, I really want to dive into, why is it that people believe that the global elites are trying to take over everything? Like, where do these theories come from? Are all the theories true? Of course not all the theories are true. But the question is, why are the elites doing nothing to try to stop these elites from spreading? And so a lot of people are emailing us around the World Economic Forum, and I appreciate that because it's a very important thing. And so the World Economic Forum came out and they said, there's all these theories of a global conspiracy and none of that is true. And again, the lady doth protest too much, methinks, as Shakespeare would say. However, the ruling class and the elites, instead of actually taking a step back and they say, wait a second, why is it that all these theories are spreading? Why is it that people are believing things that might be half true, might be totally true, or not true at all? But the spectrum goes from there. And so I'll tell you a quick story. I was speaking at my pastor's church at Calvary Chapel Godspeak in Thousand Oaks, California, not too long ago. And I had some conversations with a couple people. And there was one person in particular that I met, a really sweet person. And he just believed something that was untrue. He just believed something that was not correct. He said, Donald Trump will 100% serve 4 more years and get sworn in at the inauguration. And so instead of kind of dismissing him, instead of mocking him, I took a deep breath. I said, let's sit down. Let's chat. And so I had a 10 or 15 minute conversation and let him tell me rationally why he believed what he believed. And then I responded with facts and with data and with information. And after 15 minutes, his mind was changed. He no longer believed that. Why was he believing it without being confronted before? The answer is that these self-contained conversations on social media create feedback bubbles. Even worse, when you kick so many accounts off of social media and all you do is dwell on the message boards and you see hundreds of people commenting, they're almost a separate mob psychology starts to set in. So this sweet gentleman who I talked to for a little bit had never been cross-examined online with a differing opinion. And the same can be said, by the way, for people on the left that say that Donald Trump is a Russian agent. They only follow people on Twitter that say that. They only talk to people that say that. They've never had anyone factually or rationally cross-examine them. So again, the self-contained conversations create negative feedback loops of information where the only output is what you already believe. And a consequence of that is then you start believing things that are totally wacky and it invalidates any sort of criticism or concern that we might have. And so I don't know if this is intentional or not. I don't know. I hope not. But when you suppress so many pieces of conversation, all of a sudden more conspiracy theories are going to start to get hatched. Not less. More wacky, bizarro world ideas are going to start to spread. Not less. Maybe there are people that want to see conspiracy theories grow. Maybe there are people that want to see this sort of unfounded stuff spread. The best way to stop it is stop censoring anyone that might say something a little bit out of the ordinary. And this is why the marketplace of ideas is so important. Otherwise, groupthink kicks in. And when groupthink kicks in, then there is almost a dogmatic belief around a certain perspective or subset of ideas. That's why if you had the social media companies operate the way they should, and someone says something like, you know, Mike Pence is in Gitmo right now, someone could say, no, he's not. Here's why. Instead, they write that on a message board and everyone's like, OMG, really? It makes so much sense because of this guy and this thing. And all of a sudden, there's no disagreement. There's no cross-examination. And no one wants to hear it. And when you start to shut down certain voices, you know what people say is, oh, they're shutting that person down because he has so much good stuff to say. Well, no, they're shutting the person down immorally because they're afraid of what the consequence of the ideas would be, but they're handling it incorrectly. You're only going to have more people like that than start to pop up, not less. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. And you can support us at charliekirk.com/support. God bless America. God bless you. We'll be back later.